Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Hey, Justin, that's enough. And he waves and says hi and tosses it.
Hey, kidding me?
You should be able to say whatever you want to the umpires. The umpires are barely humans.
I don't know about
barely
anything
human.
Dale Arnold.
I say he's the third greatest quarterback of all time because I don't do it all by rings. I just don't think that's fair.
It's not fair.
I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I think John Elway's number two, and I think Tom Brady's three.
Rich Keefe.
Hell, you were a high school legend.
I was a nice high school player.
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So we've decided that there is virtually nothing or no one we would wait 17 hours in line to see.
No, although I feel like this could just be a cruel joke because I may have to wait 17 hours
for a kid.
The birth of young baby girl. But we will see. But no, I'm so opposed to lines, it's not even funny. Like, I'm just like, forget it, I'll go do something else. And then you got this guy out there, 17 hours. Not even to win anything. Like, that's the thing. It's just to say that you were the first one in there.
I mean, you could sort of understand 30 days outside an IKEA. I mean, a sweet $3,000 gift
card. That's
true.
Look at this. But people have already been in there. Like, that's the thing. Like, they opened it up to, like, the media.
There was a whole bunch of people there, like, Thursday night or Wednesday night, whatever it was.
I do really want to go. Do you have like, an approach? Do you go to casinos at all? What kind of guy are you? Are you, like, the high roller poker?
No.
Can you count cards?
Heck no.
That's right, Dale. You can't. Good one.
I know.
Of course.
Smart. I can't. No,
throw him
I
off
can't.
The scent a little bit.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I can't.
Neither can I. Yeah, no, I'm not a huge gambler either, but I am looking forward to getting over there. I just want to check it out. All the pictures and everything look awesome.
How about the beers?
Is there a brew? Ooh.
There's a brew house. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm definitely in favor
we'll
of that.
We'll have to get you in there.
All right.
This will be way after the baby and stuff. Sorry.
I know. My wife is a huge fan of casinos. She's going to want to go very badly.
Maybe that you should take her tonight.
And then maybe that'll be the thing.
Water breaks?
First baby at a casino or this casino.
Well, you don't know. Could have had one there already.
That's a good point.
Lots of people were there yesterday.
Yeah, if this guy.
I've seen the videos.
Conceiving is different.
I've seen that. Really, Rossi?
How does it work, Jason?
Rossi, we're talking about a man's pregnant wife here.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. I bet you.
Just in general.
That I heard the suite up there, like the executive suite.
The suites look awesome.
Yeah.
I might get one of those.
That will get everybody in the mood. And I'm just saying, you might.
Do they have oysters?
Don't need them. With that room?
You got that suite. You don't need them.
Hold on.
Have you seen the room, the view of the room. Costco? It's insane.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wait a minute.
You can see all of Everett. This is where Jason Rossi grew up. There it is.
The mean streets. Me and Coach Robito made me a man right there.
Does Coach have his own suite there? He might just stay there. Coach Robito probably lives there now.
I bet you Coach Robito was second in line. He just unfortunately wasn't interviewed, but he's just as much of a winner as
that guy. Well, good news is they created like a million jobs. And I know Coach Robito, now that your high school is defunct, he probably, hopefully, got a gig there doing something.
I hope he never coaches again. You kidding me?
Here's something that I am a little embarrassed to admit.
Notice how I sat up in my chair.
Yeah, you're a little surprised by this. And Shine, maybe
because I don't
can
think there's much
this?
That embarrasses you.
Nothing embarrasses me. I don't understand craps. I have no idea what's going on. I have no clue.
I don't have.
I should know. I have no clue.
To be completely honest with you,
you don't either.
I have no idea.
And it's in every single movie where there's a casino.
James Bond.
Every single one. They're like, oh, hey, blow on these dice, toots. And then they throw them. They're like, yay. And everybody's going crazy. And they're like, this guy's on a heater. We did a seven. Here's a seven. I'm watching the whole thing. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what any of this is. I assume all these people just won money. There's a lot of moving around. There's a lot of dice throwing. I don't get craps at all. If somebody can help me out
with
craps.
Or in the James Bond movie where they go, bonko.
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Could be anything. No, it's frustrating. That's one where when I've been at casinos, I just sort of like, I watch for a second, then I just like walk away. Like, I have no idea.
Blackjack I get. I mean, not that I'm any good at it, but I can add.
Most,
math skills can handle
it. Right. Poker, most poker games I can handle. roulette I get. I don't get every single one of the odds, but I get it. Like, everything else that's in there, I at least know how to. I'm not good at them, but I know how to play them. Craps, I look at it, I'm like, my head is spinning. And then people tell me, like, oh, that's the easiest money. Oh, go play craps. I'm like, yeah, what? Like, what? You just throw money down and just wait and just hope that they add money to it?
See if they give it back to you?
So maybe that'll be my thing. Maybe I'll figure out. You got to learn new skills all the time. You got to keep evolving, Dale. That's the thing.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
Assuming the blessed baby Keith is born here in the next couple of days, you won't be going to the encore for a while.
No, I know. But maybe 2020. Maybe that'll be my thing. Maybe I'll learn how to play craps. That'll be the thing.
And your wife will say, you're going where?
No, she'll be there. Excuse me. She can't wait. She probably knows craps.
You're doing
I have no
what?
Clue. No idea.
So we've been talking throughout the course of the day about, several different topics that have piqued our fancy, but not the least of which was the whole Kyrie Irving impending departure. None of us know where he's going to go. He's in Kyoto, Japan right now, but we don't think he's going to play there.
Now, you didn't buy into the Nets report as much as I did from the New York Daily News that the Nets are having cold feet about bringing Irving.
Don't know.
You don't buy it?
Because I think they've got a deal signed in a desk drawer right now.
I mean, they could. I just think that it makes way more sense to bring in Kyrie with Kevin Durant, even though Durant's going to be out for a whole year, because you could sort of wait and say, all right, when he returns, we're going to be fantastic. We're going to be the team. But after watching it unfold in Boston, like, how can you look at all the stuff? So you hated everybody in Cleveland. You hated everybody in Boston. It was everybody else's fault. But what, we, the Brooklyn Nets, are going to be different? Like, I think they should have cold feet even if they don't. But you're right. We don't know where he's going to go, but it's certainly not going to be back here in Boston. I think that is pretty clear at this point. I know they can offer him the most money, but I think that's a done deal.
Assuming he's gone, and we both think he's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody. Danny thinks he's gone now, for crying out loud. Yeah, Wick thinks he's gone.
I would think so, yes.
So assuming that he's gone, what will his legacy be here? I mean, Shaq had a Celtic career too, remember?
Yeah, but Shaq wasn't in his prime when he got here.
No.
You know, a lot of these guys weren't in their prime when they got here. Kyrie Irving was. And so his legacy will be
failure.
Failure made you dislike the team for the first time?
He will get the crap booed out of him when he comes back to town.
Yes.
There will not be some tribute. Now, there might be. They do it for everybody.
Oh, God. Good question.
They do it for everybody. They will. Inevitably, they'll do some tribute video
for
him.
And you'll have, like, 10 people stand and applaud, because those are the people that are, like, you know, good citizens. But everybody else is going to be like, screw this guy. Or maybe there'll be a big debate about whether they have one or not, and then maybe he'll say he doesn't want one, like, you know, when Isaiah Thomas came rolling back. Yeah, but his legacy here in Boston is sort of like a kind of a what could have been, and how he actually turned a very likable team into a very unlikable team. How one guy, like, single-handedly was able to twist that around.
When the owner and the former player turned color commentator both said they didn't like this team this year.
That says it all, doesn't it? Those guys loved Tyler Zeller. Those guys loved Jay Crowder. Those guys loved all of those players from the past, because at least they gave a damn and they got the most, if not more, out of their talent. This team didn't live up to the level of expectation this year, and everybody knows that. Now, the one good thing for this kind of trade, and as you know, Danny Ainge stands on the other side of it, is at least you didn't give up anything really good that you're going to regret.
No.
The number 8 pick, sure, maybe Colin Sexton turns into a nice player, but it's not like you had to give up Jason Tatum or like a player that you liked, had a year or two, and then you see him become a star somewhere else. Nobody that was good for the Celtics will really be good anywhere else where you'll say, oh, this trade's even worse.
So today the Celtics introduced the 4 new draft picks, and they held up their jerseys. Mm-hmm. Keith hates a couple of the numbers, but, you know, that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm. The numbers are not great.
Well, you don't have a lot of options either.
29
here.
For poor Carson Edwards?
So Danny Ainge was obviously speaking there today as well. Yeah. I thought this quote from Ainge from today's proceedings jumped out at me. This is Ainge speaking today. Quote, I think it just makes life more enjoyable when everybody is humble, hardworking, and will play any role they have to help the team succeed.
Sounds like this year's team.
You do have to have a certain amount of talent to win, as we all know.
Yes.
But good people makes coming to work more fun, unquote.
Oh, my God.
Gee, I wonder who he's talking about, huh?
God. Aaron Baines.
No, probably not. No, I think they liked Aaron Baines. In fact, Aaron Baines is pissed at them. He wanted to stay.
What a shot at Horford. No, I mean, it's very clear what's going on. And that's the thing is, I think everybody knows, from Danny Ainge to just, you know, regular fan out there, everybody knows in the NBA, more than any other sports, you need that elite talent to win. But it's not going to be Kyrie Irving. It isn't. So you have to go in another direction. And unfortunately, next year, they're not going to be a title contender as it stands right now. So they have a few options, and Chris Forsberg wrote about it on NBC Sports Boston. How much cap space they currently have is still kind of up in the air based on a lot of different things, whether Terry Rozier comes back or whatever else. So he wrote an article about the future at point guard. And so basically, they can go at this a whole number of different ways. Before we get into the money on this, I'm going to throw out a name. You tell me if you have any interest at all. Bringing back Terry Rozier.
It's not awful, but so it's a little not bit. At the top of my list. Right.
For me, I'm a no. Kemba Walker.
Oh, be great. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
See, I like that one.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, kind of going in now. And then Derrick Rose.
No, thank you.
Ricky Rubio. I don't mind Ricky Rubio. Patrick Beverley.
Real quick, Ricky Rubio might be the perfect fit for this current team with all the wings they have.
Yeah, you know what? Ricky Rubio I could really talk myself into, because I think if Brown, Tatum are going to make that leap forward, like Tatum should be a 20-point-per-game guy, Hayward should be 18, Brown should be 15-plus, then all these other guys on this list are kind of scoring, or most of these guys are scoring point guards. And then Patrick Beverley was the other one on there, who I like. It might be a good backup. But I think Marcus Smart can also play point for you. So the only guy that would demand max money, in my mind, would be Kemba Walker. So that one's probably the toughest one to get.
I love that one, but I like. I don't see how that happens.
I like D'Angelo Russell a lot. He is a restricted free agent with the Nets. And if they get Kyrie Irving, I can't imagine the two of them would really work all that well together.
I can't imagine anybody does work well with.
That's a good point. No, nobody does. But specifically, like the skill sets that they have, maybe they move on from Russell. The Celtics could offer him a lot of money, but not max money. So, like, almost whatever they have left. And now Russell, Tatum, and Brown kind of grow together, all like 25 or under 25. So, I like Russell the most. I'm not huge on Brogdon. And then Rossi might be onto something. Maybe little Ricky Rubio is a guy that could come in here with his crazy long hair and just pass the ball to those guys.
That's what this team would need. Well, I don't know about need, but that was I think to best utilize Brown, Tatum, Hayward. But I think you need a guy like that.
My one concern is they shoot so many threes on the Celtics, and Rubio will probably be open for a lot of threes, and he does not make a lot of threes. He's not a great 3-point shooter.
All right, my thanks to a couple of folks on Twitter, John Tomasi one, Chris Forsberg for another, because we needed to flesh this out for your benefit.
Thank you.
Number 29 for the Celtics.
Yeah.
Purvis Ellison.
You see?
And Hank Finkel.
See what I'm talking about?
You made up that last one.
Hank Finkel definitely sounds made up. He, of course, was the uncle of Ray Finkel, former Dolphins kicker.
Number 40 for the Celtics.
Oh, Dino Raja.
Dino Raja.
Yeah, okay.
Finn Baker was 42. Was
nice. He would go out there, he'd get 18 points, grab 12 rebounds, then smoke a pack of cigarettes on the way home.
Number 45 for the Celtics.
Pedro Martinez.
Yes.
45 on the Celtics?
Yeah. Good luck coming up with this one.
Gerald Wallace.
David Thirdkill.
Don't have that. did not have that.
Another made-up name.
Dale's made up five different names
today. Have not made them up.
The Mets GM pulled that out of the sky. And then these guys.
Number 51 for the Celtics.
Well, Eddie House, I believe, was 50. 51? Was Keon Dooling ever here? No?
No.
Kevin Pinckney.
Kevin Pinckney, that was from the 07 team, I believe, that won 24 games. I think Kevin Pinckney.
Now, as Chris Forsberg.
Not to be confused with Ed Pinckney.
Well, no, different one.
Kevin Pinckney.
As Chris Forsberg pointed out, Todd Mundt also wore.
Who did?
Todd Mundt played 9 games in 95-96 for the Celtics.
That is a good pull. And here I was thinking I was a fan of the team.
And you didn't know.
I didn't know who Ed Mundt was. Todd Mundt?
Purvis Ellison, Hank Finkel.
See, these are trash numbers. The best one on there was Dino Raja. Dino Raja was a real one. But yeah, 29. Carson Edwards needs to change that. Of course,
Keon Dooling was here.
Did he wear 51?
51 in Charles Claxton.
Speedy Claxton.
No, not Speedy Claxton.
Yes, it is. Charles Claxton, I believe, is Speedy Claxton. I was right about Keon Dooling, though.
Keon Dooling in 2012.
That's pretty good. And you told me that, no, he wasn't here. How dare you, Rossi? No clue.
Callahan's the guy. I've never seen anybody who knows jersey numbers better than Jerry Callahan.
It's an important skill.
It's like a Rain Man thing for him.
I'm better at the where NBA players played college than I am what number they
are. Oh, you're real
are.
Good at that.
I like
Very
that.
Strong.
I like that game.
Another number 40 maybe makes you feel better, maybe makes you feel worse. Tony Battee, first time around.
Battee saved Paul Pierce's life. So, yeah, I like the
Travis
Batman.
Knight was also
Travis 40. Knight was the best free agent signing until Al Horford.
They had to redo the entire roster for Travis Knight, remember?
They did.
He's got to go, he's got to go, he's got to go.
Need Travis Knight. What a bust that guy was. But, hey, so there you go. There's the stars. So, hopefully, big shoes to fill for Grant Williams and Romeo Langford and Carson Edwards.
Keith, also, you got it right with Gerald Wallace. Was a number 45 for this team.
Look at you.
I know my numbers.
Look at the apparently. Big brain on Keith.
Rafe LaFrenz. I can't believe we missed him. Also was number 45.
Rafe was 45. Rafe LaFrenz.
Yeah, these guys, take it all back. These numbers are fine.
They need to change numbers.
They're doing fine.
They need to change them immediately. These guys are all screwed.
If they didn't retire number 29 for never nervous Purvis Ellison, then damn it, let it go.
That was a tough
And we can confirm that David Third Kill was a real player.
Yes, Third Kill. Person. I knew he was.
What was his career like?
One season here with the Celtics.
Okay. That's a deep pull there. You got David Third Kill down.
I'm impressed that they came up with these.
Pretty good.
And it was Tomasi who came up with Raja and Third Kill.
Third Kill ended his career here with the Celtics in 87.
Very memorable.
It was Forsberg who came up with Ellison, Finkel, Pinckney, and Todd Mundt.
You guys are missing out on Keon Dooling. The Keon Dooling era.
Well,
real
still
strong.
Waiting for it.
No, I know. He can be back at any day now.
The bottom line here is that it's probably going to be kind of a long year if you're a Celtics fan.
Yeah. I mean, they have something. They have the ability to bring in somebody who could be either their best player or second best player, though, still. Right? Like D'Angelo Russell, he was an all-star last year. Bradley Beal was an all-star last year. Nikola Vucevic was an all-star last year. This team with Kyrie gone didn't have any all-stars. Doesn't mean Tatum can't be. Doesn't mean Hayward can't, you know, regain that form. But those three guys, all still kind of rumored and in play, whether it's free agency or a trade, if they make a move for one of those guys, I think they can be a top 4 or 5 team in the Eastern Conference. Now, what does that get you? They were a top 4 team this year and got bounced in the second round, so not a whole lot. But it's not as much of a fall as maybe you might think, considering you're losing Irving and Horford.
It'll be curious, and I'll be curious. And I don't think, by the way, that Taco Fall is going to be the big
big man
roster addition for Danny.
He's big.
Well, he is that.
7'6", 310.
I've already set the over-under on NBA games, actually. Played in a Celtics uniform at 2 when I took the under.
I'm going over. I could see him playing 3 games. 3 big games. I'm telling you don't want to win the tip and then just take him out, sub him out. Syracuse used to do that with Craig Forth. He would start, they give him the hook right away.
How embarrassing would that be? You're on scholarship?
Yeah, just to win the tip.
To do that.
All right, good job. Get the hell out of there. Don't touch it. Just don't ever touch the ball again.
Don't run. Yeah. Stand there.
You win the tip, you throw the ball, you know, off somebody's leg out of bounds, you sub him out, game on.
They did that to me in 8th grade.
You'd win the tip?
Yeah, I went out there for the tip.
Well, you're really tall then? What happened?
No, I was just a beefy kid. I was a bigger
back
kid.
Back to the beefy kid thing.
Tall and beefy. I was bigger than most other kids.
So you were the same height in 8th grade as you are now?
Probably like 2 inches shorter, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So like go win the tip and then don't touch the ball?
So, Shime, we teased this a couple of times, but we didn't pay off the tease.
Oh, good one, Dale.
The latest Las Vegas odds for where Kawhi Leonard is going to end up, right?
And I think this could surprise you, Dale.
Okay.
This could surprise you a little bit, because he's obviously, the news today is he's not picking up his player option. No surprise there. So let's go to Vegas, Shime. What are we looking at for Kawhi Leonard?
So out of Vegas right now, Kawhi's odds, number one leading the pack, the Toronto Raptors, -225.
That's a big number. They really think he's going back to Toronto. Holy smokes.
What would they base those odds on?
Inside sources.
I don't think so.
Scoops.
Yeah, because Kawhi Leonard is so chatty, he tells everybody what he's doing.
I mean, they knew Bran was going to be on the throne. They probably know where Kawhi's going.
Got him there.
Good point. That's a good point. Well, Kawhi's uncle basically tells him what to do, right? At least he did last year, so you just go track that guy down.
And I bet Drake knows. I mean, Drake knows
Drake
everything.
Knows. Who else is on that list?
So then second on the list would be the Clippers. At plus 175.
Okay.
The Lakers are third at plus 800.
If the Lakers get him, I will throw up all over the place.
The Knicks are fourth at plus 1,400. And the Nets are last at plus 1,600.
Okay. Yeah, because it's basically every one of these free agents is like the two New York teams, the two LA teams, and then whatever team that they are currently on. But
it's the same with everybody. Kyrie Irving, the Celtics are not.
No, they're not the favorite. No, they're not. But they'd be in the mix. They would get odds, but they wouldn't be number one. And like same with Durant. Actually, Durant's, that's a different kind of study altogether just because he's hurt. But yeah, I think maybe he stays in Toronto. And that would also be bad news for the Celtics because now Toronto still remains the best team in the conference.
Should I put some action in on that Nets plus 16?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I would put it all down. I would bet the future kids college fund, everything you got.
Put it all down.
Mortgage.
How are you feeling?
Oh, absolutely.
You feeling good?
I'm just looking for that, you know, small bet.
After you lose the mortgage money, you can camp out on the lawn outside of the Encore Harbor Casino.
Or an IKEA in like Oklahoma City.
Oh, the $3,000 for a month, that's...
A month. Yeah, you got to do the math. You got to crunch the numbers real quick.
Not like, much different from my salary.
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
Cost of living.
A professional camper like that guy, what's he going to do with a house full of IKEA stuff?
Not sure. Like, do you guys... I don't know.
I don't know either. 617-779-7937. We've got it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trend.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So it was draft weekend in the National Hockey League. There were a couple of interesting deals out there. And I bring them up because one of them, I guess, could have an impact on potential Bruins fans out there. The Toronto Maple Leafs desperately wanted to get out from under the last year of Patrick Marleau's contract.
Right.
He had signed a three-year deal. He was due $6.25 million, you know, next year. They've got a couple of guys they've got to get signed, and they absolutely could not do it unless they got rid of Patrick Marleau's contract. So they convinced Carolina to take Patrick Marleau and his $6.25 million average annual value.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So this is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Marleau.
A conditional first.
A 2020 conditional first round pick, a 2020 seventh round pick. For Carolina's sixth round pick.
So what's the conditions on the first? Do you know?
If it's top 10, it defers to the following year.
So, I mean, that's just them.
To get rid of the contract, they had to give up a first and a second round draft pick.
Is Peter Chiarelli running team over there?
What's he
doing? I mean, that was one of those ones, though. You got a veteran guy, and they wanted Patrick Marleau, and he's just not the same player that he once was. Kind of like a David Backes type of thing.
Well, that's why I bring
it up. Would you have traded a first round pick for somebody to take Backes?
Well, here's the thing. Now Marleau only had a year left under his deal. Backes has 2 years left.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
$6 million deal.
But they need to sign Mitch Marner right now.
Oh, they have to. Yeah. An assistant GM told Fluto Schinzau of The Athletic about Backes' deal, quote, impossible to move. It would be a high-end pick.
Not a lot of wiggle room there.
He says you'd have to give up a high-end pick plus a contract. The only other way to get rid of the Backes deal is to take another bad deal in return, which doesn't make any sense.
You don't want to do that because even like Milan Lucic, for example, is a bad contract, but he has another year on top of what David Backes has left. So you're probably stuck with him. And then we've even looked at what the buyout situation is. You don't save a whole lot of money. It was like $1.3 million like against the cap
if
you buy him out. So that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I always thought there were some teams that were trying to fight to get to the cap floor. Like, is that not true? Because I guess now you wouldn't want Backus for 2 years, though. That's sort of the difference. Like, 1 year, maybe you would take the guy on. But yeah, you're stuck with that. It's a bad contract. You know, what are you gonna? You know, what else can you do but probably play it out?
The other big deal of the weekend, in addition to the Marleau trade to Carolina, the other big deal was PK Subban, who got traded by Nashville to the New Jersey Devils.
I love PK Subban.
I have said forever that if PK Subban was a Boston Bruin, Bruins fans would love him.
Yeah. Oh, he's hilarious. Like, have you just seen any of the interviews that he's done? He's done some of these different videos and stuff, and like whether it's on his social media or I think NHL Network has picked some
of them up for. There. Let's go. I mean, I don't know. I'm with Red Bull. This is the closest. I don't got any merch yet. You know what? To the all the fans that go to The Rock every night, The Rock Prudential Center, to support the New Jersey Devils. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? I don't really know. This is the only thing I got. I mean, it's The Rock's logo, but do you smell what The Rock is cooking? I don't know. I got no merch. I got no memorabilia. I got nothing with Jersey Devils on it, but I just want to tell you guys, are you guys ready for the Subanator? Because I'm ready to go. Let's go. Lucy, we're going to Jersey. Let's go.
I thought he was talking to Lindsey Vaughn for a minute
nope,
there.
Big, just a big dog guy.
Thank God.
A big dog guy, I guess. But yeah, I mean, his problem, the reason why anybody here, even if they still do, maybe they don't, but the only reason why you don't like him here is because he played for Montreal for so long. If he was never even on Montreal, I think people would have liked him too. He was just a really good player for Montreal, spent the last three seasons in Nashville. It was funny because I first saw...
I think Bruins fans would like him.
They'd love him. They would love this guy.
He's got a bigger-than-life personality.
Yeah.
Now, he's not exactly a great defensive defenseman.
No.
But he's got great offensive skills.
Yeah, he does.
Good shot.
Yeah, he does. No, he's, because when I first saw, I didn't see where he was going. When I first was looking on Twitter, it said, PK Subban's been traded. And I knew it wasn't to the Bruins, unfortunately. But I'm like,
right.
Oh, I wonder where he's going. And then you see him go to the Devils. So, yeah, there's already been a couple of moves. The draft kind of came and went. Bruins drafted a big center kid who's out of high school.
John
right?
Beecher.
I think he's going to Michigan next year.
Matt Kalman on WEEI.com called the pick a reach.
Oh, boy. Don't like that. Don't like that at all. But that's a guy that, even best case scenario, he's not playing for another couple of years up
yes.
here. So
and what he is supposed to be, if you listen to Don Sweeney's comments afterwards, is the replacement. You know, eventually down the road, they've got to think about, you know, down the middle of the ice, they've got Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. And, you know, you're going to need to start filling in behind those
yeah.
centers. He's got real good size. He's like 6'3", skates like the wind. He's never going to be David
now,
Krejci or Patrice Bergeron.
Well, no, I mean, and that's a tough comparison anyway. But the fact that Torrey Krug hasn't been traded yet, does that lead you to believe that he's going to be around, or do you think that possibility still remains?
I think that, as I said last week, what they have to do is try to make initial contact with the Krug camp. You know, we've got to get an idea what it is you're looking for. If we wanted to bring you back, and we do, give us an idea what the AAV would be. And at that point, they've got to make a determination. Okay, we can do this. You know, we can afford this. Or they've got to say, look, we can't even think about that.
Yeah.
The most common trade partners that I've seen posted out there is the Red Wings. You know, Michigan guy, played collegiately at Michigan. You know, could you get Athanasiou out of them? Or, you know, Dylan Larkin or somebody like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just think, and more importantly, it's just to kind of free up money. Like, I would like to keep him on the team, but you look at how much money McAvoy and Carlo are going to make. And if you're trying to get a top six forward, you're not going to be able to, you know, pay everybody. So you might have to move on from him, but nothing doing there over the weekend. Would there be anybody else on the current roster that you think they would look to move? Or is it going to be pretty similar next year's team to this year's team?
I think it's going to be fairly similar to this year's team. The free agents that I know they want to bring back, obviously, Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo, Danton Heinen. Those are the three that I think they want to get re-signed.
And they're all
here.
Restricted.
Yes.
What about Johansson? Any chance he
I think they'd
back?
Love to, but I think he's probably priced himself out of what they can afford.
He did. He looked pretty good. But so everybody else is back. Krejci, there's Krejci rumors about being traded for the last
years. It's going to be tough to deal with. Here's the problem you have, and over the weekend I was reading this a lot. General managers saying that the salary cap is killing the NHL. And at that point, the Marleau deal hadn't happened yet. But if you think about it, that's the position that the Toronto Maple Leafs were in. We can't afford this contract. We need to go sign Mitch Marner Yeah. It's going to cost us a crap ton of money. We're going to have to give up a first and second round draft pick just to get somebody to take that contract off our hands.
Yeah, but so the premise of the article was that the salary cap is killing the league?
That it has become now where you draft a player, you develop him, then he prices himself out of what you can afford to keep your team together, and he's headed on down the highway.
Well, so I would blame the general managers, or I would just... I mean, if you think that's such a big problem, maybe you have to raise the cap a little bit. Like, if you're afraid, because somebody's paying all these guys. The contracts are going up. The Sharks just had all that money to pay Carlson. You know, like, teams can pay money.
They are going to rue that contract.
Yeah, they probably will, but it's too long for a guy with an injury history.
It's $11 million a year.
Yeah.
It is going to be one of those that eventually down the road, it's going to hurt.
But... it's not even revision. Like, I talked myself into it when they signed David Backes, but it was not unanimous. There were plenty of people at the time that said 5 and 30 for this guy. Like, are you kidding
me? Yeah, I liked the signing, but not the term.
Right. And that's how most people felt. So,
they had a real leadership void at the time. They felt that he was going to bring, and he did.
But it's no shock that he's not great anymore and you're stuck paying him for the next couple of years. So that's not the salary cap really burned the Bruins. It's no, the Bruins burned the Bruins.
Sure.
They never should have signed him to that deal. So you got to be smarter. I prefer the salary cap leagues compared to, say, Major League Baseball, where it's just, do whatever you want. Like, I much prefer the salary cap. There's so much more strategy there. And then you can really, you know, the guys that are making the most money, well, they better play the best because that's how it's all set up.
Real quickly to the NBA for just a moment here. Is Slam Magazine a credible source for you?
Yeah.
It's one of Wiggy's go-tos.
That's good. I'm just asking about the credibility factor here.
I like them.
The headline piece that I'm looking at, report, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving met twice to discuss free agency. Quote, Kevin Durant and fellow soon-to-be free agent Kyrie Irving have reportedly met twice in recent weeks to discuss the possibility of teaming up. The two superstars are said to have chatted before and after KD's ruptured Achilles tendon injury.
Yeah, they're best buds. We saw it at the All-Star game.
Durant, 30, is reportedly, quote, really pissed off, unquote, about how the Golden State Warriors handled his short-lived return to the court.
How? I don't get that whole thing. And remember, we're talking about the potential lawsuits, and then, you know, you had Bob Myers up there crying during the thing. Durant came back, so who is he pissed at? He said he could play. The trainer said he could play. That whole thing was weird.
Bleacher Report said Coach Steve Kerr says he was told Durant could not have further injured himself by playing, which obviously proved not to be true.
Yeah.
If Durant was told the same, it would give credence to the notion that, as one league executive claims, he's really pissed off at the Warriors. If he was told, listen, you can't hurt it. You'll be fine. You can't hurt it anymore. And then he goes out and blows it out, and he's done for a year. I can see where... he might be a little upset.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, like, if you recover from an injury, you're not invincible from ever getting hurt there. So, like, say you break your arm and it gets healed. Then they go back out there like, you won't break your arm again. How can they say that? Like, I mean, I guess he should have been out longer. But he looked really good in that first quarter. He looked really good, I guess, you know, working his way back there. But I thought he was going to leave Golden State regardless. Whether or not he hates the training staff now or not, I thought his eyes were, or his mind was made up that he's going to be gone. And so he's met with Kyrie. That's no surprise. I think we've known that.
What else you got coming up in just a couple of minutes? It'll involve Jalen Ramsey and something else that we found for you. It's coming up next, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hit us up on Twitter, at Dale Keefe, W-E-E-I. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, a couple of things that we didn't get to throughout the course of the program today.
What else you got?
I'll let you kick it off.
All right, I will begin. Jalen Ramsey, who I enjoy.
I like Gordon Ramsay better.
Do you really?
No.
You're a big Hell's Kitchen guy?
He's a mean guy.
I like...
You notice when he does the show with the kids, he doesn't yell at them.
He doesn't. He should.
Well,
you got to get after those guys a little bit. If you want to be Gordon Ramsay, you got to do it all the time. Can't turn it on and off. But Jalen Ramsey, another guy who likes to talk, didn't really back it up quite as well this year.
No.
But he went on the Adam Schefter podcast to talk about what kind of guy he really is.
You know, I'm really a nice guy. Man.
You really are.
I'm really a nice guy. Yeah. People don't know this, but I'm really a nice guy.
And before we let you go, just give me a quick breakdown of some of the quarterbacks you're facing this year.
Man, he want to do this again, huh? You know, I'm not going to do this again, but we do play some good quarterbacks this year, of course, but probably the quarterback I'm most excited about is Nick Foles. Don't have to play against him, of course. He is my teammate. He's a great teammate. In the few interactions we've had, it's been great. Great man, great player as well. Has nothing to prove to anybody. He's a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, so I hope he, you know, comes out here, plays free.
That's maturity right there.
I'm growing, man. It's year four for me, man. It's a different me. A lot of people, you know, they think they know me. They don't really know me. But, hey, that's okay. But we'll get it right.
Well, that sucks.
It's been my experience that generally when people have to tell you that they're really a nice guy, they're not a nice
guy.
Maybe
they're not. But I wish you would go back to what he did before. How entertaining was he when he went through every single quarterback in the league and told you why they sucked? Now he's like, oh, I don't really care about any of the quarterbacks except for our guy, Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles.
Yeah.
That stinks.
This is contract wanting Ramsey.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
I got Shawshanked, by the way, last night.
Oh, by what? Shawshank Redemption?
Nick Willenda and his sister.
Oh,
doing the high wire across Times Square on live TV.
I did not watch that.
Now, I got to be honest with you.
Didn't he?
They had a wire hook to them.
Bogus.
So that
if
they went over,
bogus,
they weren't going to fall
to their death. I watched that idiot do the Grand Canyon 5 years ago. This, I didn't. All of a sudden, I saw on Twitter all these people talking about, oh, there's a harness. I'm like, what are they talking about? But I was watching, of course, Big Little Lies last night.
Of course.
Because that show is fantastic.
No, what else you got?
Anyway, beside the point. So today, Joe Namath, Jets Hall of Fame quarterback, made his Howard Stern debut.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer that. But here's we were having this discussion earlier because Chris Sims talking about, you know, quarterbacks and the greatest of all time and all that. Well, Joe Namath talked about the greatest of all time, too.
Tom is the best. I've been asked that question for many years, and Johnny U was my hero. Otto Graham was great, slinging Sammy Ball. I go back. But meantime, Tom has been challenged more in recent history, certainly, with huge games than anyone I could recollect, and he stepped up every time.
It's unbelievable.
Here's a quarterback. When I watch pro football games, college games, you can literally see, and I actually lost games for our team by throwing poorly, throwing interceptions. I have not seen Tom Brady lose a game for his team.
Is he the greatest that ever was?
I would have to say he's the best.
There you go. If Joe says so, then you know it's
all
legit.
Of a sudden I have to like Joe Namath now?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't have to. No.
The absolute worst Hall of Fame player in history. If you look at the record, you look at the numbers, Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame for one game.
What about Floyd Little? That was Michael's
Joe Namath,
his go-to.
Worse.
Yeah. Joe Namath. But the
personality. We all know the real reason why he's in the Hall of Fame.
One game.
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me the same thing impresses them.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Joe, you shoot your shot, Joe.
Every time that's funny. The only thing, and Susie Colbert is the best. She asked him way too many questions, though.
Oh,
like how do you not
like
early
you
on?
Tell?
You could smell it from watching it at home. I was like, why are you still talking to this guy? He's got that booze breath. He's slurring his words. His eyes are shut.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
That was amazing. One of the great on-field interviews of all time.
He sounded better on Stern today. It was early morning. He probably hadn't been out yet.
Is he sober now, or is he just sober currently?
This morning, anyway, he appeared to be.
Yeah,
so.
I guess he was.
Good for him.
But holy smokes, was that impressive.
All right, we got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. One of us will be here tomorrow. I can't promise for both of us.
God.
But
I know my wife's hoping that I'm not.
I understand.
Thing. Oh, boy.
Literally, the phone has been in his hand most of the day today.
Spicy food, Keith. A lot of spicy food.
Well, we did yesterday.
Keep it coming.
Spice. I know.
More curry, my dear.
Listen, if that four-dimensional zombie game at Dave and Buster's couldn't get the kid out, I don't know what will.
The hottest, like, you need, like, ghost white pepper.
Ghost peppers? All right.
Oh, that would do it.
I'm sure she'd really enjoy it, too.
She might.
See you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.